Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, our text this morning deals with us as the people of God and how we respond to those whom the Lord has given to us to rule in our midst. So it's speaking directly about the pastor and the elders of the congregation. Pastor and elders that you elected to serve in this congregation for God's glory and for your good. The Apostle Paul speaks much about the elders of the church. And you realize there are three specific texts that are given in Scripture that deal with the office of the officers of the church, specifically the deacons and the elders. 1 Timothy 3, the Apostle Paul deals with both of them and the requirements that are given for men who qualify for the office. Now, it certainly cannot mean a practical perfection, because none of us have that. But it certainly does mean that as a man above reproach, faithful men, men that are striving as they grow in grace and knowledge in an understanding of the truth, as they grow in their desire to worship the Lord and to serve Him, they grow in humility, they're growing in service, they are simply stated growing in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are being conformed into His image. Now, it's the Lord who gives the gifts, and the gifts are then made known. Now, let me speak to just as being a pastor. There is an internal calling that's given. Paul even mentions that in 1 Timothy 3. If a man desires the work of a bishop, an overseer, he desires a good thing. Bishop, episkopos, is one who looks into things. That's what it means, episcope. Epe intensifies it. Scopus has that, what we call a scope. They look into things. They look into it within the Christian church, among the people of God. They're also the elders, the presbyteros, as those who have wisdom of maturity. And they are called then also to be men who rule. Men of wisdom. Men with a desire to labor in the church of Jesus Christ. But it's God who gives the gifts. And as He gives the gifts, they are to be then acknowledged by the church. So back to the pastor again, there is a desire internally to serve as a minister of the gospel. But that desire internally is, it may be faulty. It's not known as truly the will of the Lord until or unless the church actually calls the man to the church, to serve in the church as pastor. So there is an internal and an external call that goes along with the office. We saw that last Lord's Day. There is a desire for the brother to serve as an elder in the church, and there is also the calling that came from the church as the body of Christ to call him to serve in our midst. So Paul speaks to these issues. He speaks to the poimen, the shepherd, of one who is to feed and to nourish the people of God. And all has noticed the aspect of one who has authority. There is also that aspect of eldership within the church of Jesus Christ. So there is great emphasis upon the ministry of elders within the local church. There is great emphasis then, we read in Hebrews chapter 13, two different texts, verse 7 and verse 17, about how the people of God are to respond then to whom they have elected as their officers within the church. So this text, what Paul is teaching the Thessalonians, and what he's teaching us this morning, is both the work of the eldership, the pastor, and the response of the congregation to the men who are called to that work. I think that this is a big problem within the life of the Church of Jesus Christ today. I'm not trying to be self-serving in this. We have an installation service of an elder, and I'm just simply, this is what the text says this morning for us, and how a man serves and how the congregation responds. We have a great problem, I think, in the Church of Jesus Christ in submitting to authority. Now, the one who is a faithful man is going to bring the Word of God to you. And beloved, you are required to submit to God's word, as are the elders and the pastor and the deacons. We are all under submission to God's word. And the problem that we have in authority in this country, many other countries, but let's just focus upon the United States, seen in our rebellion against God and with regards to law enforcement, that we won't submit to the law enforcement officers, that it's open season on those who wear a badge, who are called, according to Romans 13, to wield the sword within the public realm to keep peace and to punish the evildoers. And yet man rebels against that and kills those that are in authority. Is a demonstration of his hatred towards God. So it is within the family, because these are the structures that God has given within humanity. The family structure. Children, you are required by the Lord to obey your parents. That is not an option. You are to be obedient to your parents in the Lord. For as Paul says in Ephesians 6, this is right. It's right because that's what God says is right. Your parents tell you to do something, clearly that is not sinful, you are to obey them immediately. It's not a debate. It's not a dialogue. You are not to disrespect your parents. You're to honor them. So that's an institution that God has given the family. And notice how much rebellion we have in the family. How much discord in the family itself because of a lack of self-control and a lack of obedience to the one whom God has put over us to rule us by their hand. It only causes heartache and it only causes confusion. It only causes problems. That then translates to the church, which is composed of the families. And so you have the same thing then that goes on in the church. Rebellion against those whom are called, gifted, called, and then called by the church to serve in these offices for the glory of God and the good of the church. Now, as you would see the rebellion in the public arena within our societies against the law enforcement officers, and you would say, boy, that's appalling. So it is when you see it in the family. The children disobeying their parents. That is appalling. So it is in the church. That when officers are called to serve and people will not submit to the officers whom they called as they minister with the word of God. That is appalling. There's something wrong with that. The problem is the heart, isn't it? It's always the issue of the heart. So Paul is dealing with this. He deals with comforting one another. Notice in verse 11. Bringing comfort, bringing encouragement to one another. We have a dearth of encouragement in the life of the church. We are called to be people that encourage. We are encouraged by the Lord through His Word, and therefore we are to encourage and comfort and edify and build up one another. How often does that go on? It seems like the church is becoming more and more a haven of discouragement. You know why that is, beloved? Because people that are calling themselves Christians are turning away from the only balm that can bring healing to the soul. It's the only salve is the Word of God. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And you turn away from the Word, of course, there is only going to be discouragement. Because we are to comfort one another with the words of Christ. We are to build up one another with the words of Christ. We are to encourage one another with the words of Jesus Christ. So, Paul, just getting a running start, he says, comfort and edify one another. And he tells the Thessalonians, just as you're doing, keep on doing it. You in the congregation that are encouragers, keep on encouraging. Don't be concerned about whether or not you're being encouraged. You just keep on encouraging and edifying and building up others with the truth of God's word. Then Paul moves into our text this morning. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. Notice the word there, the urging. He is beseeching them. He is pleading with them. He is pleading with them to recognize the officers that are in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, when he says the word there, to recognize them, he means to consider them. That's what the Greek term means. To think about them. When you go over to Hebrews 13, this is what the writer of the Hebrews says, to remember those who once spoke the word of God to you. To remember the outcome of their faith. To remember their example among you. So there's a remembrance, there is a recalling. This is what Paul is saying within the church. Consider your officers. Consider those whom God has raised up to minister the word of God to you. Now he says, we urge you, brethren, he's talking to the church, to recognize those who labor. Notice the call of the pastorate, the eldership, is to labor. The labor there, the Greek term, means to the point of sweat, to the point of fatigue, to be tired, not of the work, but in the work, that the man is doing the work. Paul said, 1 Timothy 5, that the elders, let them be worthy of double honor, who labor in doctrine, who preach and who teach the word of God. Double honor is to be given to them. Why is that? Because they're doing a great service in the church in ministering the word of God. But notice the responsibility of the congregation to recognize those who labor. And the responsibility of the eldership is to labor, not to be lazy. Lazy men need not apply. You understand the analogy. There is enough lazy men in the ministry who don't preach the word. I heard a survey recently. Survey said, went something like this about the percentage of people in the church who actually trust their pastor. It was something to the effect of like 37%. Now, I don't know how many were surveyed, but 37%. And the question was asked why they did not trust their pastor. And the response was, he doesn't tell us what the word of God says. They linked unfaithfulness in laboring in the word to distrust in the ministry. Well, beloved, you ought to distrust me or the elders if we don't tell you what God says in his word. That's an epidemic proportion in the church. You know why that is? Because spineless, boneless men are serving in the office which they ought not to be serving. They don't have the gifts and the calling to serve. They are just a warm body that's placed in a seat. And therefore, they are afraid to bring the truth to bear on men's souls. They might get angry with me. It happens all the time. Nevertheless, the calling is to bring the word. That is the healing balm to the soul, is to bring the word. And you cannot bring the word if you're not laboring in the word. So Paul says to recognize those who are laboring and doing the work to fatigue. They're tired in the work because they're doing the work. Recognize these men. He goes on and he says, they labor among you, among the flock, teaching, ministering the word of God, visiting the sick, counseling the wayward, those who are rebellious, dealing with that sin, dealing with those who are unfaithful, who are weak, those who are rebellious. It's a constant work that goes on in the life of the church. It does not end this side of glory. It continues day after day, moment after moment. And that's what the men are called to, is to labor that way. And so the Apostle Paul goes on, and they are over you in the Lord. Notice again, they are to work to fatigue as they are over you and standing before you. They stand before you and declare the word of God to you. They stand before you and teach you the word of God. That's the position in which they are called to. No better than anybody else in the congregation. You've heard me say that before. I am no better than anybody else in here. We've all come to salvation through the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. But God has given gifts severally as he wills in the midst of the congregation. And so I'm not on a pedestal way up here and you're way down here. We are all level at the foot of the cross. The difference and the distinction is the office to which one is called. There ought to be respect for the offices in the church that God has given for His glory and the good of the church, the edification of the church. So there is a recognition that goes on, and these verbs here are present tense. That means you are to continually keep on recognizing them. How do you recognize your elders? How do you consider your elders? Do you encourage your elders who labor among you? Do you encourage them in the work that they're called to do? That's considering them, being thoughtful of them, because of the work's sake in the Lord. And this is what Paul says. They labor and are over you in the Lord. The authority that the eldership has in the church ends with the Word of God. That's where it begins and that's where it ends. It's a spiritual authority in the Lord, in Jesus Christ, with the Word of Jesus Christ. That's the authority, is God's Word. And that's the authority that the man is to wield and to serve by. He is to use that authority to comfort, to console, to uplift, to edify, to encourage, to comfort, to correct, to rebuke. That is what I think is a failure of the Church of Jesus Christ today. Men are afraid to rebuke and to correct with the Word of God. But that's the very thing that admonish and warn mean. Neutetheo means to deal and to put to mind. What are you putting to mind? Notice Paul gets at this. And admonish you. They're over you. They have been called to a particular authority. They've been given that by the Lord. And they admonish you. What does it mean to admonish? That's the Greek term that I was referring to. Neutetheo. It means to put to mind. What are you putting to mind? What do you expect from the eldership of this congregation when you're going through difficult times? Do you expect them to console you, to comfort you, to encourage you with the Word of God or with the doctrines and philosophy of men, which are absolute foolishness, and that are, Paul said, coming to nothing? The philosophies and the ideologies of men are the very things which the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, to cast them down. And every high and lofty thing that sets itself against the knowledge and the glory of God, cast it down with the Word of God. So we are to come and to admonish you, to put to mind the Word of God. We are to call you to remembrance of God's Word. Beloved, many of you have been to funerals, if not all of you. You know, the scriptures say this, Hebrews 9, it is appointed unto all men to die once. Death is coming, and it's a reality in this fallen, sin-cursed world. Don't act like it isn't. I need to remind you of that. I need to remind you of the hope of the resurrection. There is a resurrection coming. I need to remind you that death in this world is not the end of the story. Those who have died in Christ are with Christ. They are with them, Him in their souls. Their body has been laid to rest in anticipation, hope of the resurrection. Their souls are immediately with Christ, which Paul says in Philippians 1, is far better than being here. The difficulty, right? We're terrestrial. We're of the earth. We're earthy. And so we have a desire to remain. But we're also celestial. We're heavenly. We have a desire to depart and be with Christ. Paul says, for me to remain is more needful for you. If you're here, you have a purpose. It's more needful for someone to be here and serve than it is to depart. And that's why they haven't departed. But you know this. And so when you go to a funeral, and when you have the death of a loved one, you are not one to weep without any hope. Christ is our hope. They are with Christ. They are in the Lord. They will return with the Lord when He comes at His second coming. So understand that. We have a common phrase that we say, we lost a loved one. You didn't lose a loved one. They changed addresses. They've moved on for this time in your life, which is a temporal time. How long can it be before you're with your loved one again? 40 years, 50 years? What is that in the scope of eternity? It's nothing. You can't even compare the two. So you've got to remember those things. Beloved, when you're unfaithful on the Lord's day, I'm called and the elders are called to admonish you in the Lord. Look, this is what the scripture says. You are not to be unfaithful on the Lord's day. You are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This Christian Sabbath day, the first day of the week where we gather to worship. We are not to forsake the gathering together of the people of God. So you're to be faithful in that. That's what you vow to before the Lord. That's how you admonish. That's how you put to mind. When David was struggling and he was downcast, what did he do? I mean, today, if it was today, he'd run off to the modern shrink. Let me lay on your couch and tell me that all my problems are somebody else's fault. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. The psalmist says the same thing. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This man is speaking comfort of God's word to his own soul. That's admonishment. And the elders are called to that. Now I ask you, elders, are you doing that work? Are you laboring among the congregation in that way? Do you recognize your calling? Do you, as the body of Christ, this local congregation, do you recognize your responsibility to recognize those who are over you? Do you recognize the responsibility of those who labor among you and admonish you and are over you in Christ to recognize them, to be thoughtful of them, to encourage them? It's not a one-way street. This is a both and, right? It's the elders calling to encourage, and it's our responsibility as members of the body of Christ to encourage one another. Paul moves on. Notice verse 13. And to esteem them very highly. Very highly. The Greek term means superabundantly. And it's for the office. It's for the work. It's not their person. Y'all remember when Obama was president. I didn't care for the guy. I didn't vote for him. I would not vote for him. But I didn't care for him. But I had respect for the office of president. It was the office. So we have today, constantly, where we are degrading the office that has been given. How many jokes do we make about the president or about governing authorities? How about officers in the church? The office that God has given to us within either the public realm or within the church of Jesus Christ. The authority figures given. That office. And Paul says to esteem them highly for their work's sake. Notice that, verse 13. Esteem them highly. You consider them very highly and superabundantly for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Because of the work that they do. The work is to nourish you. The work is to feed you. The work is to care for your souls. And in a reality, beloved, every Lord's Day when I'm preaching, I'm preparing you to meet the Lord. Because it's coming. I'm calling you to repentance. I'm calling you to faith and hope in Jesus Christ. I'm calling you to trust in Him. I'm comforting you with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's preparing you for death. It's coming. We've got to be reminded continually. Do you have identity amnesia? Do you forget who you are? What is that which forms your identity? As Christians, our identity is Christ. He is our identity. It's in Jesus Christ. We don't need self-esteem. That's worldly philosophy. You know what we need? We need Christ's esteem. You know where you find that? John the Baptizer said that so clearly. He must increase, I must decrease. Boy, you don't hear that today in the church. You hear, I must increase, we must increase. It must be about us. No, it's about Christ. We need Christ's esteem. We need to esteem Him highly in love. We don't need self-esteem. Paul says, esteem them highly, very highly, in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. You're not going to have a lot of peace if you're struggling with the officers of the church. Those who rule over you in the Lord, you are to be submissive because they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Hebrews 13:17. It's not profitable, beloved, to be at strife for those whom the Lord raises up among us to serve in the office. Be at peace. Strive for peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Paul says, as much as lies within you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace in the church. You can't be at peace when you're constantly warring with one another, arguing about things that don't make a hill of beans. There are things that are important. There are things that are absolutely unimportant. We seem to traffic much with the things of unimportance, of least importance, not of greatest importance. You can't have peace among yourselves that way. So, this is what Paul is saying. Recognize those who labor. Labor, elders, labor. Labor to fatigue. Labor to minister the gospel of Christ to the people of God. Labor to their souls. Labor for the glory of Christ. Labor for their comfort. And love one another. Be at peace. Paul says, notice, this is going to apply to the elders and also to the members of the congregation. Verse 14, we exhort you, brethren. Again, the word exhort, neutetheo, it means we put this to your mind. Again, the word of God. They'll warn those who are unruly. The unruly ones. Notice he's speaking of the church. There are unruly ones. There are ones who just simply won't listen. And they are constantly to be called to be warned of their actions. This is the consequence. Let me use an example. I had a man one time, very unfaithful in the church. He's a member of the church. Never met his daughters, who were also members of the church, who we erased from the rolls. And he said this comment to me one day. I said, do you understand what we did? He says, yeah, you kicked my daughters out of the church. That's how ignorant people are. You don't kick anybody out of the church. Discipline is for the glory of God and for your good, to bring you to repentance. So some time went on, and I, trying to minister to him, called him up, wouldn't respond, wouldn't answer my calls. So he shows up one day at worship, and I told him, go in the office there, the church office, and I said, I'll be in there in a minute. And he said to his wife was there, he said, well, we're going to go. I said, you know what? You've got 5 minutes. Go in the office. I need to talk to you. So I went in. I went right up to his face, and I asked him this question. Do you want to remain a member of this congregation? And he said, yeah, I do. And I said, you've got a strange way to show it. You are on the way to discipline. You are not on the way to remain a member in good and regular standing. So I read him the constitution of what he signed and said he was in submission to, showed him the scriptures about our Christian responsibility, and I warned him that if you continue in this behavior, you will be placed under discipline. And you know whose fault it is? It's your fault. You're the one who asked for this. It was your actions that led to where we are right now. And then I loved him. Saying what I said, I was loving him. And then I told him, now what can I do to help you in fulfilling your calling as a Christian? That's the warning. That's a lot of what is not going on in the church, because people get angry. Families get angry. You deal with this man, well, he's my cousin, and I don't like how you dealt with him, and so-and-so said this, and then things spread, which people don't have the whole story, and then it goes on and on and on, and it just is gossip, blah, 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 about nothing. People understand what's going on. And yet the work is still to go on, to warn, for your good. This is not going to bode well for you if you continue in this path. That's why you have to be elders, men of courage. Because you need to say what needs to be said when it needs to be said. That is a word spoken in due season. How sweet it is. Like apples of silver and settings of gold. We urge and exhort to warn the unruly, to comfort the faint-hearted. The little-souled, that's what it means. Faint-hearted. They have a little soul. They're not growing in grace and knowledge. They're weak in faith. The Apostle Paul says to comfort them, to come alongside of them, to nourish them. Calling of the whole congregation, but also with the eldership. Comforting the faint-hearted. They're among us faint-hearted individuals. That means the eldership needs to know the congregation. One of the things when I was called to be your pastor, one specific thing that I asked the spiritual council was what this congregation needs specifically. Not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need that. I understand that. But there are specific needs within the life of the congregation. What does this congregation specifically need? And my question was to ask, it was twofold. I wanted to know, but I wanted to know if the elders had their fingers on the pulse of the congregation. I wanted to know if these men are doing the work and know the sheep that is entrusted to them. I wanted to know if they were ruling over them with the word of God, that they were comforting the sick, that they were strengthening those who are faint-hearted, that they were upholding the weak. Notice, upholding. It's like a platform. It's like a foundation. You uphold them. You support them. You find that at funerals, don't you? Somebody is weak at that point, and you're upholding them. You've got your arm around them. You're caring for them. Is that taking place in the congregation among one another? Are we being patient with all? Long-suffering, what it means with all. Bearing with one another. Long-suffering. We're not to render evil for evil. Notice, we'll close with verse 15. Paul says the same thing in Romans 12. Not to render evil for evil. We are to do good for evil. We are to pursue. That's our pursuit. This is what Paul says. Pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. The truth is good. Discipline for the unruly is good. Comfort for the faint-hearted is good. Support and upholding for the weak is good. It's good works. It's works done to the glory of Christ. Not to be saved as a result of salvation. That's good in the life of the church. Beloved, are you recognizing those who labor to exhaustion among you? To fatigue among you with the word? Laboring in doctrine? Laboring for your comfort, for your encouragement, to put to mind the truth of God's word that causes you then to more and more progress in the mind of Christ? Are you recognizing them? Are you considering them? Are you esteeming them very highly in love for their work's sake, for the glory of God? You elders, are you laboring? Are you doing the work? Are you comforting? Are you encouraging? Are you warning the unruly? That's the call for the church and for the officers in the church. Pray that the Lord continues to strengthen us and gives us the zeal and the desire to submit to His word. All of us, pastor, elders, deacons, congregation, all of us, simply bowing our neck to the yoke of Jesus Christ. And if you're in rebellion of this, repent. Turn from your sin, turn from your wickedness and rebellion against the Lord, and bow your neck to the yoke of Jesus Christ. That is the calling for all those that name the name of Jesus. May the Lord continue to do this work in the local church, specifically Hope Reformed Church, for His honor, His glory, and His praise, and for our comfort and edification. Amen. Shall we pray?